listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations to transform your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to season two. I am Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my mom and co-host, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we combine my years of psychological training with her years of business and life experience to add value to your day. We're super excited about today's topic. It is within my mom's wheelhouse. We are going to talk about money. She is an accountant with over 47 years. With over 40 years of accounting experience. And we're going to talk about the game of money.
And you say the game of money? Money's not a game, but isn't it? And anytime you look at money from that perspective, what it allows you to do is it allows you to remind yourself that any game you play is based on skill, is not based on intellect, because you can learn it. You can learn the strategy of it. You can become better at it. And even though you may lose this session, doesn't mean that you can't win the next time you play or as you continue to play the game. So that's the beauty of money. However, it's about a mindset. Games are about mindsets, right? So have you ever started a game and you said, I don't like this game, or I don't want to play this game? And when you come into this game called money, if that is your mindset, then immediately you come in at a disadvantage. So this is about what does it take, or some of the tips and tricks that you can use to play this game called money strategically so that you are more productive and profitable in your life.
All right. And so I do want to bring in a little bit of boundaries, because yes, games have rules. And within my book, Turning Crisis into Clarity, one of the boundaries is financial, that you can have financial boundaries with other people. And I think it's really important. So I am a recovering people pleaser. It is hard. Now, it was never hard to set boundaries around money, but sometimes with my time. My time was the thing that I might overcommit myself. But I know other people where it is really difficult for them to set boundaries around their money. And I think there's a difference between, because I think sometimes people are like, hey, I know I had this money set aside for, you know, my emergency fund, but my family member, you know, is really in need. And this family member is consistently in need. And if I don't do it, they will go to another family member. Like, they're going to get their need met. So me saying no won't drastically change things. It'll make them upset with me. And so I think being able to manage, okay, when I start to set boundaries around my money with myself, because I have to start with myself first. And for me, that's sometimes disconnecting some of the automatic things. So if I'm trying to not spend as much on Amazon or something, I might disconnect my credit card, because to have to, you know, look for my card and put in the information, that makes me think more before going through with that purchase. For me, cash. So I think my mom is like picky about spending cash. For me, when I have cash, it's like, oh, I have it. I might as well, you know, go get Thai food or go. So I don't keep a lot of cash on me, because I respect swiping the card more. Wow. Than I know, which is different, because I think for you,
it's cash. Right. And I'm very careful. So I'm glad you said that. So there's two things I would like to address that you said. You said when a person knows, like for the emergency fund, they're upset with you. So, okay. So in this game called money, my question is, how did they peep your cards? How did they know what you had? Anytime you're playing a game, isn't part of the game the fact that you're holding your own hand?
Wait a minute, but with family, because sometimes people think I should be able, they don't want to set a boundary like that with family.
Yeah, but the problem is, this is a game. You don't know their hand. You know what they told you.
True.
Right? You don't know what they spent their money on. But suddenly, something inside you feels guilty about not providing, not keeping the boundary that you established.
And I think people have to be careful because it can feel good to help people. But
it does feel good to help people, I think, for me.
And it can get to a point where you become their source. And because sometimes when things get a little uncomfortable, and I'm not talking about, you know, things are dangerous or unsafe. I'm saying things are uncomfortable. Then I think people start to make different decisions. So I love my partner and I for the first few years for our son. So he doesn't remember any Christmas before this year. And we didn't. So we didn't, you know, we didn't overspend. We didn't really spend that much for Christmas. I'm the only child from my mom. My dad spoils all of his grandkids. My in-laws spoil, like we have all this family that spoiled our son. And we didn't go into debt for Christmas because it's like, okay, he's not even going to remember it.
And that's the thing. The thing is that we put pressure on ourselves. And so I'm going to tap into one thing you said. You said we want to be the source versus a resource. There's a difference in being a person's source and being a resource. The resource, you have to get into and get permission to get it. Being a source is like me, you having an open spigot and she just has this attachment she has to me. Okay, so, and I'm gonna use her as an example, Patrice as an example. If she needed something, I know her well enough to know that she wouldn't come to me and ask me for something that she didn't need. However, I used to be my family's source, not a resource, their source. So when something major changed in my life, a decision I made to change positions that changed my pay dramatically, I had to announce to them that my life had changed and I could no longer be their source.
And didn't they work it out?
And they all worked it out. Not only did they work it out, to be honest with you, they became better. Because when you stop being the source, and hear me, because there's a difference, and because I'm faith-based, right? God is my source. My job is a resource. I can change jobs. Okay, I can go and get another job. I can have another stream of income. I can increase my resources, but I'm attached to my source. Does it make sense? It's different.
And I love, because we talked about transitions last week, and that episode is live for anybody that's streaming now. It's up on YouTube and also up on for our podcast. But with transitions, I think you should have more than one source.
Absolutely. Resource. More than one. And my thing is, I believe in having at least eight multiple streams of income. Notice I said streams, because streams sometimes dry up. During this pandemic, there was a major stream, M-A-J-O-R, a major stream that dried up because I could no longer speak in large settings and stuff like that. So my speaker resource kind of went, what the world? However, I tapped into and listened to my source to remind me, you got 47 years of accounting background, really? You got a company sitting over there waiting for you to just, you know, press the button. I pressed the button, and because of your faithfulness, because of your integrity, because of your character, you press the button and suddenly you get trickles. And then before you know it, you have a stream flowing in this other lane. So let's go back to this. So the resource starts with you and can include other people based on your situation, right? I am not married, so I don't have another partner. I don't have another person that I get money. We combine resources and nothing like that, right? However, I do have quite a few streams of income, right? and I'm very strategic about my streams. However, it is not my responsibility nor requirement to be someone else's source.
I love that. And we got a phenomenal question.
Okay.
At what age do you start to have these conversations with kids? And I believe as parents, you start setting up a fund for them as soon as they're born. And when we're talking about setting up a legacy, setting up things for the future, make sure that you are insured and that as soon as your child is born, if you don't have life insurance for your child now, that you get life insurance. I'm really concerned that with long haul COVID, that at some point, some insurance policies, so you can't be denied healthcare for pre-existing, you can be denied coverage for life insurance, based on certain things, or your premium can be higher. Yeah. But once, so we have a policy for our child, because you never want, when you need it, you never want, so we don't want to ever have to use it, but we have it if we ever needed it.
Right.
And insuring him now, because let's say he's diagnosed with ADHD later. Well, sometimes people with ADHD end up with higher policies, or so there are certain diagnoses that can affect your. So I think it's starting from the basis of legacy. And then if you can put a little bit of money into an account each month. I am grateful grandparents have done that for our child. We've been able to focus on paying down other debt, my student loans, paying, you know, mortgage, those other things. And really the grandparents have been the ones that have done that. Our child is now 4. So we are starting to teach him about money concepts. There's a great book. So on TikTok, there's Ace Talks Money. I believe that is his TikTok.
Right, it is.
And he has a children's book to explain money to kids. And he has a YouTube channel. But there are lots of resources to talk with kids about money. And I think it's important. So I heard somebody say the other day that they told their child that Santa is charging them like a fee. Like Santa's like, we have to pay. The elves formed a union. And like,
I mean, I understand the dynamics, but and it's cute, it's sort cute. Of. However, I don't want an outside person for somebody to think an outside person is the one who's supplying it. Matter of fact, yesterday, my grandson was watching this thing with me, right? And I had to pause it and fast forward it, because what it was is every time the children came in, they were asking for Hot Wheels, and magically it was in the cupboard, and magically everything they wanted, and they ended up with this. Now he has quite a bit of stuff anyway, so but they ended up with all this space, and he's sitting over there grinning, and I'm thinking, oh no, you're not, because we have to be careful as parents and people who care ourselves to make sure that our mindset is not shifted or imprinted by the thing that we don't want to be imprinted by. Because I don't want him to sit there and think things magically appear. People work. And so he came in and shook my bank. He has this thing. He thinks the bank, you know, you shake the bank, money comes out. And then yesterday we were watching this movie, which was really cute. And it was about tornadoes and stuff. And then they said, they had this candy bar for $1 million. And I said, I have those for $1 million. And he looked like, he didn't know it was a candy bar. I said, I have a $1 million bar like that. And he looked. And so yesterday he tried to get two. I said, no, you only get 1 million. Right? You only get 1 million. Or you can have a piece. But my point for saying that is, don't let your children think that money comes from some magical place. Let them know that it is based, what is based on from your perspective. Like for me, Patrice, because I was divorced. So at one point I needed the money to survive, right? Child support. But then when you become in a position where you don't need the money to survive, listen to me, survive, then take the money and put it in an account for your children. or take a portion and put it in the account for your children. And then at a young age, let them build credit by getting a credit card.
I'd say around like maybe
15, 16 is my recommendation. Mm-hmm. Old enough. But right, however, right now they have this debit card that's called Green something. Anyway, they have a debit card. I have a disconnect with it. That's my issue. Because initially when they came out, they just talked about putting money on it, putting money on it. Every time your child needs money, you don't have to worry about it. Just put money on it. Like the money came from some magical place. And then now they're switching it up a little bit, which I think is a little bit better. And then they're linking it to when your child does chores, when this happens, because there's a responsibility. You don't go to work and get, free. So they need to understand there is a response toward that. And so just be careful in that space. So it's never too young. Anytime the child knows that you can swipe a debit card, they need to be taught about money. Anytime they're asking for anything, they need to be taught about money and the responsibility of keeping things and keeping them and not tearing things up. And last thing, yesterday, because there's a bunch of stuff I did for him. So he came in and he said, I have to be careful to clean up behind myself. This is in our private, in our conversation, because I listened to him. And so I said, why? What do you mean? He said, because if I don't keep something, my room or something clean, he said, then I don't get. So
we had just had that conversation that I'm not going to buy new things if you don't take care of the things that you have.
Do you hear that, y'all? The same thing in our life. Take care of what you have in your hand. Take care of it. It may not be the house that you want. It may not be the car that you want yet. For your children, it may not be the best toy that they want, but make sure they take care of it, because that's part of the money game. If you don't take care of what you have, then getting more is not,
I am so excited. And make sure, so my mom is Mama Johnny Lloyd on TikTok, and I believe her YouTube is connected. She has lots of resources on finances, but I do want to get to some amazing questions. Good. So there's a single mom of two that has never really saved. And then that might relate. There's someone else that also commented that they live check to check and they would like to build savings as well.
Wow. Let's give a couple tips. I know this is a great place. I've been homeless, so I understand both of the situations, right? So what I'm going to do is tell you to start where you are. Look at what you bring in and take and figure out what your needs are. And when I say needs, you may have to identify what that means.
Food, shelter. Basic clothing. So some things, so I have very expensive taste, and people always joke that, so almost everything that, so I don't spend a lot of money on clothes because I like to transition my closet a lot. I like to do that. And there are places where you can get nice clothes. But then also I think there's a balance with it, because I've also worked with people that had money, but had a poor because they were raised in lack and they still had that lack mentality, and they were still shopping at good, they wouldn't spend money on themselves because of that fear of not having. And so I think you have to balance that. And so it's like, okay, how can I get some of these things met? So I live in a very, very nice community. I'm very grateful and thankful. And within our very nice community, with people that are making good money, mm-hmm. we have a free. We have a buy nothing group, where it's a group of people and people post, hey, I'm getting rid of some of my kids' toys. Anybody want any of these? Or, hey, I'm looking for a boy's potty chair. Before I pay for it, anybody getting rid of that? And so, because I think we often think, we look at what other people have and we make assumptions of how they got it. And so you would never know that my best friend gave this to me for free, that this came in like a set of like a lot And the whole thing, I think, might have been $10, okay, no more than 20 for a set of 20 earrings. Like sometimes people look at people and they make assumptions about where, about how they're spending their money, and they don't know, hey, I'm taking care of my needs and my priorities first.
Okay. So once you find out what your needs are, and I mean real needs, then see where you can scale back. If, and when I say scale back, I'm going to say scale up, not scale back, scale up. Intentionally take part of, because you go out to eat. I know everybody does. Go out to eat. Maybe talk about how many times you go out to eat. And then what do you do to replace that? The other thing is, based on the age of the children, have the entire family join in to whatever you're shifting to, pivoting to. Because if you're used to going out every time the kids say they're hungry and they want to go, you go, then let them know this is the deal and what you're doing it and why you're doing it. So sometimes what I do is I save for two, I do two pots, especially when there's kids involved. I do a pot saying we're going to go on a special trip or we're going to do something special pot. Because that helps them, encourage them to put in that pot, right? And then I also have the, this is my emergency fund pot. And you said, how? $5, $1, $2, put it away, but put it away and put it away from you. Then the first thing that I teach all of my classes to do when I do financial literacy is this: stop saying you're broke. And let me tell you how to do it. This works. Do you hear me? Listen to me. It works. Take $1 cash. Take $1 cash, because that may be all you have right now. Take a dollar. Put it in your wallet. Do not spend it. It triggers your mind when you say you broke, because you may be able to put $5, but put something in there you can afford to leave in there and not use. Don't start where I am now, because I didn't start there. So I have money in my wallet where I can never say I'm broke. I always have cash. I always have money, right? And cash is a mindset. And that's why I deal with cash. And I want to be cash conscious. So I deal with cash because I teach and I train. So I want people to be cash conscious.
Because some people, what they do is they, because it's hard to stick to a budget sometimes. And then also sometimes emotionally. So I know when I get anxious about something, I sometimes want to find, I want to buy something to make that anxiety go away.
So and it doesn't, but it's a happy thought.
If I'm anxious about my kid going to kindergarten, like I'm gonna buy, you know, these special things, these special labels. I don't know. Like, so know what triggers excessive spending for you. So that you can be conscious of it and find other ways to meet that need that don't cost any money. And so for Christmas and birthday for our son, we do an Amazon wish list, and I always put some clothes on there. I put some school supplies. I put things on there, and there are toys, but I do a mix of things so that people can support and kids clothes. So there's a we are in Virginia, and there's a shop called Once Upon a Child, because our son grows like nobody's business. He's always needing new clothes. He grows so fast. And they have like nice clothes, mm-hmm, for a reasonable price, or I watch out for sales. Sometimes you're able to buy off season, which can be hard for kids that are still growing because you might not know what size you need. But normally, but those are some ways to possibly save a little bit of money. I like sometimes people do where, okay, if I'm only going to spend $200. Let's say that's the amount I'm going to spend for this 2-week period for groceries. People take it out in cash, and they're mindful of, and then they deal with when I'm at the cash register and I have to put something back to not have guilt or grief, or because that to me, so I've had to do that before. I have had to put things back because I didn't, or they scanned something. I was like, wait a minute, I thought that was $5. Yeah. That's $20. Oh no. I don't want that.
It ain't that serious.
It's not. it's not that serious. And then finding ways to increase your income and legal and safe, you know, finding ways to increase your income if you can.
Innovative and creativity. And your children may be innovative and creative. There are people that their children at a young age, like my grandson, he draws truck vehicles. He draws bridges. He's serious about this thing. I mean, like, real serious. So my point for saying that is what your children may have gifts, encourage them. And then if there's a way for them to gain resources right now by being on, whether it's Kindle, whether it's Etsy, whatever, through your account. Now, don't get it twisted. Through your account, then you get a chance to do that. And then this is the thing I'll tell you as a parent when you start doing things like that for your children. Don't spend their money. Okay, so if you have a child that is a saver, listen to me, very important. If you have a child that is a saver, do not take their money and spend it unless you get their permission and then you return it. And I used to return it with interest because then they have the mindset that they're your bank. They became a bank. And when people borrow your money, young, whoever, when people borrow your money, you should get more than you gave them back and don't give it to anybody where you don't get it back. I know they're your child, but that's integrity. You're teaching them integrity. You're teaching them character, and you're teaching them that you're a person of their word, of your word. It's very important. So be careful with that.
I also think that giving a small amount of money, so let's say my total income for the week is $600, and I, but to set aside a portion of that to donate to my favorite charity, or when you give, I think it's a principle, and I've seen it work.
It works
because it says, and my partner, because he was like, okay, so you're telling me you would still give even if your child needed this surgery. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, the percentage that I give is so small that, like, I probably needed more than that amount. And giving and teaching your kids to give. And so teaching your kids to, you know, donate or to do those things. I do think that being I'm not saying giving to people, I'm saying giving to organizations, giving your time. And then please know, and I want to say this for single parents, you cannot give your way. So I think sometimes single parents try to, because of some guilt, or they're trying to make up for that other person.
Yeah, you can't do it. It doesn't work. It can end up being manipulative for the child.
I did that.
Not that I would ever talk about this doctor sitting next to me. But what it does is they feel that. And then the other thing that I would like you for as a tip, if you have children that understand money, you've been teaching them money, or you are changing your mindset about spending because they're really big spenders, then take a portion, track it for a little bit. Take a portion of what you would normally give them, takes all the responsibility off you, and then say, this is your money. Once this money's gone, it's over. So this is your money for when you go to order food. This is your money for da-da-da. This is your money for whatever. Let them know. And then when the money's gone, that's your boundary. You stay in your place. You may have to go to the back room and cry later. It's okay. Cry. But it's going to teach them a great. And each time you do that for them, they're going to become better at managing their money.
And talk about Think and Grow Rich, because I think there are some books and resources. Also, do you like Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
I know. Rich Dad, Poor
Dad.
The concepts in there, as a matter of fact, it connects to Think and Grow Rich. Now, there are people out there, there's a lot of people out there to help get out of debt and all that. But let's talk about those two things. Think and Grow Rich is about thinking and growing a growth mindset. Very critical, a growth mindset. So the growth mindset is about is about you personally and what you put on, right? So it's not about just getting rich. It's about being rich in every aspect of your life. Trusting your thoughts, your all of those things, and going the extra mile, all of those principles that will help your child and yourself in every area. And they do have a Think and Grow Rich for Children. There's a book out there for them. Then the other thing is Rich Dad, Poor Dad is about what he was taught from two people, his rich dad and his poor dad. And so in this world, I was taught, get a great education, Johnny, get a good job. And that's, you know, that's the way you become wealthy,
successful,
wealthy, all of that. Well, successful. And because wealth in was not necessarily perceived as the best thing. So wealth, okay, so let's talk about money because we're about the game called money. Money picks up the emotions of the person who has the money in their hand. Money does not, is an inanimate object. It does not have an emotion. It is not intellectual. It's not. So money is a tool. Hear me. Money is a tool to accomplish things. And the person who has the money, whoever they are the ones that determine if the money goes towards something here or something over there. I'm not going to say good or bad because that puts my opinion on stuff. So I'm not going to put a tag on it, but they determine where it can go. So just keep that in mind that that's not, money is not bad. Now, for those who are biblical, this is, I was originally taught that money was bad.
That money is the root of all evil.
The money was the root of all evil. It's not that. That's not what the word says. It says the love of money. When I put money before everything, when I love money more than I love people and I'm willing to do all kinds, that's the root of evil. So I don't love money. What I use money for is to benefit the kingdom and other people, because I give money away. I sow into, I love St. Jude and some other, I mean, my church, all that stuff, right? However, the same dollar that I use or $100 or whatever can be used to buy 10 books as it could be used to hurt somebody. So that's what you, just remember that. And the other thing is, if you have a plan and you want to impact people's lives, typically, the Bible also says money answereth all things. That means if you're sick, if you have additional resources, you get a chance to do some things, some innovative and creative things, maybe.
And I don't think it should be based on those things. And that's like a whole other.
Yeah,
like,
that's a whole nother.
That's meaning. A whole.
But thing. What my point is that money can answer it. But anytime you put anything in ahead of people, then that becomes an issue. Now, let's go to money one more step. Money is something that you manage. It is not something you control. Money is something that you manage. You manage, first of all, what's in your hand.
Because I think when you try to control it, you end up, it ends up slipping out.
It runs, right? Because you're holding two things. When you hold your fist tight and you try to control it, guess what? You can't get anything in it and you're not releasing it. So money, you give money the purpose. If you put it in your bank account and you said, this is the money I'm going to put in my savings account, then the money says, okay, put me in your savings account. But if you say, this is the money I'm going to put in my savings account and you spend it at Chick-fil-A, it says, you sent me to Chick-fil-A, but you said I was savings. Money has no control. You decide.
And I do think that people should, as you pay off, so when you look to get out of debt, because let's say I am in debt, you start with the credit card that has the highest interest rate. Make sure to talk to your creditor. Yeah. If you are ever in a position, let's say you can't pay for whatever reason, contact them and say, this is my situation. will you, you know, I would like to make a plan to work on this. I want to pay you. I don't want to, I want to like, you're going to get your money, but let's, because often they will work with you.
They will work with you.
And the things that you want to ask for, if you can, is to possibly pause interest for a period of time. They won't want to do that, but hey, it doesn't hurt to ask. It doesn't hurt to ask.
And most people will do it if you haven't, if you're not regular on it. And then remember this, once you make the agreement, they can't turn you into the credit bureau as being late. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. Once you make the agreement with the creditor, because remember, everybody got you on voice, they're taping.
They record it.
They're recording, right? So you just ask them, is this being recorded? Ask them, is this being recorded? And this is the agreement that we just made.
Can I please get the reference number for this call?
And then write it down. And then it will not. And if it ever hits your credit report, you have the reference and stuff. You know the date, you know the person you talk to, all of that stuff. So you can get it taken off your credit bureau. Because 35% of your credit score, and I know we're going to the left, but this is very important. 35% of your credit score is based on how you pay, your timeliness of payment, and the fact that you're meeting your agreement. 35% of your credit score is connected to that. So if you want to increase your credit score, that's where you do it. Now, I'm going to say one thing for what Patrice said about go to the one that has the highest interest rate. Sometimes you have to get somebody to help you look at it because you may have one bill that's sitting there that you're paying, that you can pay off immediately. And your personality may be that I need to get a win up front. So the quickest I get this win, the more I'm going to be engaged in continuing this process. I need to check something off. So you may need to do something else. But don't forget, you have the flexibility, especially right now, to add on additional streams of income. So don't take that for granted. And consider the time you invest in other things. If you're watching TV for 4 or 5 hours a day, I'm just going to be a little facetious so y'all don't think I'm talking about you. Then you have at least a couple hours that you could probably do something online and generate some more income as a service provider and something. So don't just look at what you have coming in. Look at additional ways to pay things off and always ask for concessions when it comes to your bills. And the other thing about the concession is always make it lower than you can afford. If they say, okay, we'll take your payment down to 100. You can do the 100. However, it may be a little tight. So you know what? 60 is the best I can do and be consistent because I want to be consistent. So pay them the 100 if you can, but the agreement is 60. So you only have to pay 60. So if something happens that month, you have $40 that you can do something with, right? And anytime somebody takes your credit and doesn't pay interest, you don't have to be charged interest, pay that sucker off as soon as humanly possible because every dollar you pay goes toward the principal and is not being eaten by the interest. So I hope that helps.
Yes. And Ace Talks Money, we mentioned his book earlier. He is in our chat over on TikTok. I was a little nervous about having this conversation because I was like, okay, my content is mental health. I don't know how this is, but money, the psychology of money, this is so important. And so if you all would like to hear more topics like this, please be sure to comment on the video. Let us know that you'd like to hear more topics about this. My mom, Johnny Lloyd, her links, I believe, are all, you know, definitely her website is johnnylloyd.com, Lloyd with two L's. Make sure to check out her, because this is what she does. And this is what she talks about all the time. And being raised by an accountant, what she is telling you all to do, that is what that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And there was a time when I had to live on credit. Because what I did was I paid my mortgage and I paid my student loans. Like that was all at that time. I didn't have a car note, but anything that I had to pay with cash, I paid those things first. And then unfortunately, I was in a situation where I was not making enough money to cover all of my expenses. And so the next thing I did was try to find a job that could where I could make more money to be able to meet all those things. And then I had minimal expenses at that time. I didn't have internet. I did not have internet for like 3 years, I think. When you moved in, did you get internet?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my mom, actually, she ended up coming and we ended up living together for a period of time. I love culturally the cultures that say, hey, so I won't kick our son out when he's 18 years old. If he would like to live at home while he's going to college. Now, when you live at home, I do have certain expectations. Not horrible, not like I don't have to know exactly where you are, but let me know if you're coming home. Because for all the kids out there, your parents don't sleep well when you are not at home. And so just let me know. I think there's just some general respect.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, because like, hey, you're going to stay out with your friends, stay with a friend that night, no problem. I don't care. But then anytime I was staying with my mom or if she was staying with me, we ended up sharing. So I was always sharing less. Like she's like, so like when she came to live with me, I think you paid the whole mortgage. Like she, she took the master bedroom. So she moved into a home that we owned together at the time. And
that's a pause. Let's pause there. When she moved up to Richmond area, we purchased a house together. Do you hear me? We purchased the house together.
Because the mortgage was going to be similar to rent.
Yeah. So part of it was, but do you understand that she became an owner. It was her home. It was an amazing place. And I eventually, once I moved from this amazing place I lived at, I moved into the house. And then I stayed there for a few years and look at the benefit of that. And then when we finally sold it, we ended up with, you know, resources again. So don't be afraid. If you teach your children about responsibility and they're responsible, don't be afraid to go on property with them. I was on her first credit card, but she built her credit. And then she really didn't need me for any credit cards or anything. But for the mortgage, we needed to co-own that.
I didn't have enough income.
Wait a minute. It's because she bought. She bought at the level, praise the Lord.
And I wish.
I'm glad she did later on. I mean, I wasn't feeling it when she did it. I was having a disconnect when she did it. But in the end, because it was what she had been accustomed to. So she went to live where she had been accustomed to living at that level, you know, the two car garage, the master on the first floor with the huge van, you know, it was straight. But when I ended up moving, living in the house by myself, I said, I'm so glad this chick did this. I'm so glad she did it because it set you up. But it was a long-term investment. It teaches you something. So don't be afraid to help your children that have been proven, a proven record, right? And then this is the other thing. Be careful to co-sign for anybody, for anything, if you can't afford to lose the money or make the payment.
And as a co-signer, if they are not paying, you take it back.
Yeah, because it goes on your credit report. It goes against your credit.
Because if at any point I was defaulting or if I wasn't covering my part of it, this sweet, lovely, beautiful woman would have like
kicked her out. Got a renter to pay the mortgage. She could have moved back in with me. But some people are probably looking at this later and say, I can't believe she said that. No, no, no. When she came, she was paying at, she was in getting her doctorate. And she came to live with me. She said, you're not going to live in this big old, you know, because I was living, praise the Lord. And so she said, I'm moving in with you. And so I made her pay money. Now, the money she was paying me, it was the thought.
The electric bill.
She owned, and the electric bill was really, really low, y'all. Because
Hydro? Was it?
It was water. It was a special system. So we live in a huge home. But she only paid the water bill. But she was eating, she was sleeping, she had her own bay on the garage. She
Okay, we're gonna have to take this part over to TikTok, and we're gonna have
some. I'm just saying, blessed and highly favored. But my point for saying that, let me finish the point. The point is this: when your children, whether they stay at the house or whatever, don't be afraid to charge. When I say charge them, to accept money from them, even if all you do is take the money and put it in an account to help them move futuristically or to buy something. Do that.
Because it puts them in a mindset
that it costs.
Yeah.
Because then that helped her move to her other, well, that didn't help you, but you know, when she got ready to move, she was used to a monthly payment. She wasn't like, well, didn't it come free? No, don't come free. You need to pay these people. So no, but she knew that already.
And one of the reasons why we did it is because I was living in campus housing, giving this money to campus housing. And so it was like, why not come and stay with family and
have our own suite?
So why not? Thank you so much for joining. Thank you for listening.
That's a long.
I really, really hope that y'all got something out of this today. Be sure to check us out over on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.